Thursday. Yeah, that's just fine because I can sort of get the weight off of that knee. I've got a knee I messed up out putting up deer blinds.
I want you to stretch your hands this way. We're going to pray for Larry. If you have a physical problem right now, if you have a physical problem and you want prayer, I want you to stand up and we're going to cover everybody. You don't have to come up. Just stand up. Identify yourself to the Lord. By faith, stand up if you need it. If you don't, there's nothing wrong with being healthy. Amen? All right then. Everybody, just stretch your hands this way. Father, in Jesus' name, is it this knee?
The right one.
In Jesus' name, Father, we just release the power of God to Larry in his knee to fix that. And we release the power of God to everybody that's standing, just like in the pool of Bethesda. Heal in Jesus' name, we pray. And everyone said amen.
Amen. Anyway, Thursday night, Brother Pastor asked me to share tonight on Thanksgiving, and so that's what I intend to do tonight. Did y'all bring your, you got your sheets? Everybody got their sheets? Okay, good. They're learning, brother. They're learning. I'm really excited about Thanksgiving this year. Number one, I get to eat a lot, and I probably need to be going on a diet, but I'm going to continue to eat. I want to give you a little history about Thanksgiving. You know, I like history. I'm a history buff. I drive my wife crazy sometimes because if it's on the History Channel, I like it. You know, and I like all history. It doesn't make any difference really what the history is about. I just like history. I like to know where we came from. Does anybody know who William Bradford is? Nobody? Oh. Yeah, he was a preacher. He was actually the first colonial governor at Plymouth Rock. As a matter of fact, he brought the pilgrims over, him and another guy by the name of Edward Winslow. There was 102 people that come over on the Mayflower. I guess everybody probably knew that. 102 people come over in 1620. The first year, brother, the first winter, half of them died. Half the people died. Now, 14 out of 18 wives died. So, man, that just tells you how bad that winter was. And then I get to thinking, you know, how could I be thankful if I was in a situation like that? And the thing is the pilgrims had a deep, deep religious belief in God and what God could do for them. When the pilgrims spoke of a holiday, they didn't call it necessarily a holiday. It was a holy day instead of a holiday. And we come up with the idea of calling it a holiday, and they called it a holy day. And it was a day that was set apart for worship and communion with God. And I thought, man, you know, how fitting that the Thanksgiving we have now generated from people who called it a holy day, and it was a day that was actually set aside for communion with God, to worship God and to thank God. They believed that the only really holy, holy day was the Sabbath, which was Sunday, and they set that aside. They worked the other 6 days. They passed that. They believed that Scripture allowed for certain days to be set aside for fasting and praying, which we believe that too, and occasionally. And deliverance, to really seek God for deliverance from a particular trial or something. These were both very solemn observant days, and everybody participated. I mean, from the littlest child up to the oldest adult, everybody participated in that time when they were doing this. The Thanksgiving as we know it actually happened in 1621, in the fall of 1621. There was a time of planting, and they had a good harvest. And as we look back in the writings and stuff, Bradford or none of them, they never really wrote about the 1621 Thanksgiving. In all the writing he did for the original colonies and stuff, when they were, or for Plymouth, that he never wrote much about that. And they said that Winslow actually devoted four sentences of his writings to the first Thanksgiving. Isn't that something? You know, a holiday that we have now, that we observe, everybody observed, they didn't think a whole lot about it. However, the next summer, the very next summer, there was a huge drought that struck the land. Huge. They said it had no rain. They had planted their crops. No rain had come in over 2 months, 60 days. And then what happened was, is that they called together, because of all of this, he called together, the elders did, a time of prayer and worship to God. It had gotten serious because they were going to die. You know, now here, if we don't plant a big garden, we can go down to CV's. If we've worked, we can buy something. There, if they didn't grow it or kill it or something, they didn't eat. So they were looking at starvation. So they went the only place they knew to go for salvation, and that was to the Lord. And so they called a day of prayer and remembrance, and they from the youngest to the oldest, they got down and they prayed, and it said they prayed for like 8 hours straight. And at the end of that day, towards the end of the day, a gentle rain started to fall. And they said that it rained gently like that, not a torrential downpour, but a very gentle rain for 14 days.
Thank you, God.
And because God had answered their prayers, they come together and says, we need to have a day of observance. And this was in 1623. And so they had a day of thanksgiving and observance and communion with God. And if you ask a pilgrim what Thanksgiving was, it wasn't 1621. It was 1623 when God came through and said, I'm going to answer your prayers. I'm going to meet your need. I'm going to do something for you that's special, see?
Amen.
And the problem is with us lots of times, and I'm talking about me, if I sit down and I try to separate myself away from television or away from radio or away from listening to music or away from talking or getting on my cell phone for an hour, it's probably not going to happen. I have to take and turn everything off, leave everything, put my cell phone away, and I can leave. Come home from church this afternoon, and I had a lot of things I planned on getting done. I wanted to really get in the Word a little more. I wanted to do a little more research on the history of Thanksgiving. And immediately, when we walked in the house, Shane and Alicia started in after it. I mean, and I just wanted to be quiet. I just wanted to be quiet. But see, that's what happens to us in the world. As we get so tied up with the things that the world has for us, with our jobs and everything else, and guess what? We miss sometimes what God has for us. We miss sometimes the best things in life because we're so tied down with the trivial matters. And what God's wanting to show us is this, is that guess what? There's something greater. There's something greater to be thankful for than a turkey dinner or a football game on TV, and that thing is being able to commune with a living, holy God that wants us to have a holy day.
Amen. Glory to God.
Well, that's pretty good stuff. You know, It was sort of odd in one way, and I guess it wasn't odd, that Brother Angelo didn't know where we were at on our little sheets. And he come over Thursday and said, I'd like for you to share. Said the Holy Spirit's impressed on me, is what he actually said. The Holy Spirit, I was in prayer, and the Holy Spirit impressed on me that you need to share Sunday evening about Thanksgiving. And our step for this week was, last week and this week, was gratitude.
Thank you, God.
Being thankful.
Yes.
It's principle 7. Some of y'all know that by heart already. Reserve a daily time with God for self-examination, Bible reading and prayer, in order to know God and His will for your life and to gain the power to follow Him. I guarantee you, when the crops failed, all of a sudden they wanted to examine what had went wrong. They wanted to find out if they had sinned in some way that the rain wasn't falling. And we would be the same way if, you know, has anyone other than me ever lost a job? Yeah. Lose a job, and you're thinking, man, what's going to happen? What's going to happen now? That's somewhat the way they felt. Step 11 says we sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God. What does conscious mean? Man, I know what's going on. If I'm conscious, I'm awake to it. And we need to come to a point to where we're awake to the things of God. We're awake to the power of God. We're awake to the move of God. We're awake to the direction of God. Says this, praying only for knowledge of His will for us and the power to carry it out.
Thank you, God. Thank you, God.
See, sometimes we just need to sit back and say, God, what's Your will in my life?
Right.
You know, as we're worshiping God and we're thanking God for all the things we have. Too many times our prayers become, I will and I want.
Yep. Yes.
Not Your will and what do You want? I want a better car, I want this. And sometimes we need to learn to just sit back and thank God for being God. To thank God for our families. To thank God for our church. To thank God for everything that we have. No matter how much abundance we're walking in at that time or how little. We need to learn how to walk in abundance and also how to be abased in certain areas.
Absolutely.
That's what the Word says.
Yes.
Learning how to love people unconditionally. And thanking God that He gave us the perfect example of love in Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Man, one of my favorite things to preach on is the love of God. I just love it.
Amen.
And the reason being is because God loves us, and we need to be thankful every second, every moment of the day, not forgetting about how much God loves us and cares for us.
Amen.
And the scripture for this was, let the message of Christ dwell among you richly. That would be Colossians 3:16. Then we got down to where it really talks about gratitude, and it said, this is the week before Thanksgiving. He didn't know that. I hadn't went and told him, you know, we just did this. And now, my wife knew it because I had said something to her. And some of you, because you were here last week and because I gave you one of these sheets of paper to fill out and said, we need a gratitude list.
Yes. Yes, we do.
Philippians 4:6 says this, and we're going to go quickly through our little lesson. Then I got some scriptures I want to give you. And then guess what? I'm going to be through because I'm very thankful. Man, I could name off a list of things I'm thankful, and we don't have time to really do that. You know, I'm thankful Black Friday's going to be here. We might find a gun to go buy, brother. You know, it ain't no telling. You know, Brother Angelo and I get off at Fort Smith. They don't know what we'll come back with on Black Friday. But Philippians 4:6, we're told, don't be anxious of anything. But in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. Learning to ask God, learning to take that time and be thankful to God and say, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do in this situation? Get some of those I wills and I wants out of the way. Or, you know, telling God what He needs to do. I've been guilty of that. You know, God's telling me one thing and then I start trying to tell God what I want to do. You say, okay, smart guy, get with it. Get on that pony and ride it for a while. Don't ride too good. Psalms 107:15, it says, give thanks to the Lord for His unfailing love and wonderful deeds for mankind. What kind of wonderful deed has God done for you? See, that's what we need to be thinking about on Thanksgiving, is what can we thank God for that He's done us, for the abundance we have in this country. You know, we live so much better than 90% of the world, folks. I want to tell you, if you've never been there, I will tell you, we live the worst among us. So if you were on welfare or whatever, you're living better than 90% of the world. If you've got clean water to drink, if you've got some pinto beans and cornbread, which I think is a good meal, let me tell you what, you're eating better than a lot of the rest of the world, because most of the world lives on a rice diet, folks. And there ain't a lot of protein in rice. I just hate to tell you that. Our pinto beans have a whole lot more protein than rice. You know, we need to be thankful for what we have. Man, I went to the store today and I went in there and I bought a big old ham. I bought some milk. And I've bought a jug of iced tea and, I don't know, a bunch of apples, things like that. Anything that I wanted, I picked up and put in the cart. And anything that Shane wanted, we picked up and put in the cart. And we just went down through there and got just whatever we wanted.
Amen.
You don't do that in most places. Just don't do that. Just doesn't happen. See, sometimes I gripe about CVs because they're a little high. But guess what? I need to start being thankful for CVs, because if I need a gallon of milk, I can leave here and I can go get it. And in a lot of places, we can't do that. See, it's the little things. We got to learn to be thankful for the little things. You know, I remember you talking about just wanting a glass of milk at night when you were a kid. You know? And my mama used to send me to school with a big old biscuit about this big with a piece of sugar-cured ham made out of Daddy's smokehouse. And then I saw the kid across from me eating bologna. I thought, man, when I get grown, I'm going to get me some of that bologna. I didn't know I was eating high on the hog. And,
right.
And he was really eating what was left over from the hog.
That's
See, it's all the perspective that you see things from and what you decide to be thankful for.
Amen.
What you decide in your own heart. You know, the holiday season's coming up, you know, after Thanksgiving. Boy, the rush is on for Christmas. And with Christmas, we got I've already asked my wife, what can I get you for Christmas? And she says, honey, I scored you. I don't need nothing else. I said, you know. Look at her back there. Sam, you know, what can we say, brother? You know, if you got it, you got it, huh? You know, we need to come to a point where we can say, let the peace of Christ keep you in tune with each other. This is Message Bible, by the way. And step with each other.
Yes.
None of this going off and doing your own thing. And cultivate Thankfulness. Cultivate thankfulness. Let the word of Christ, the message, have the run of the house or the run of your life. Let the message of Jesus, let it dwell within you. See, we all have a lot of head knowledge about things, but what we need is some heart knowledge about things. What we know up here needs to fall down in our heart. See, that's what happens when salvation comes. Head knowledge becomes heart knowledge. And that heart of stone becomes a heart of flesh. A heart of feeling. Sometimes we need to just take a moment and say, what can I be thankful for? You know, I'm learning to start looking for things to be thankful for. Man, I got me a little old power washer yesterday, and I was out there power washing, and Shane come, and he wanted to power wash. I put him to power washing, and now my wife wants me to put up Christmas lights. I don't know. Maybe I should have left the house dirty. How about your recovery? See, whether you know it or not, you're in recovery. If you can't figure out an area you're in recovery in, come and ask Brother Angelo and I. We'll point something out. I could find something that you need to recover over. I've got so many things I'm in recovery over that I have to make a list, you know. It's like a Christmas list. I'm making a list. I'm checking it twice. You know, I'm going to look and see. And my list continues to grow because I find out that sometimes I can be antagonistic to people. And I really don't mean to most of the time. Sometimes I do. Hebrews 12:1 says this, as for us, we have this large crowd of witnesses around us. So then, let us rid ourselves of everything that gets in the way and of the sin which holds on to us so tightly. And let us run with determination the race that lies before us. That's Hebrews 12:1. Good News Translation. One thing I found out about Celebrate Recovery, they use so many different translations that you just have to sort of just read it out of their deal to go along with it. But run the race. What race are we talking about? I think you're talking about the race of life. You know, run it with patience. See, sometimes we get off on rabbit trails, and we're out chasing something God never intended for us to go after.
Yes, that's true.
And we spend a lot of our life chasing after those things. When guess what? God says, if you would just ask me, if you would just spend some of that communion time with me instead of with Dr. Phil, guess what? I could teach you some things and I could show you some things that would help you. You know, it really pleased me tonight when Heather come back tonight, because I asked her this morning, I said, won't you come back tonight? See, Heather's, can I tell them that Heather's in drug court with me. I'm her counselor. And as some of y'all know, I take my counseling very serious. Very serious. When someone messes up, I start asking myself, where did I mess up? That's why we have to stay in tune with God. Is every one of us have someone looking up to us? See, one of these days, little Asher is going to be looking up to you, brother, and saying, can I form my life after this man, my grandpa? Can I do that? See, we have to look at things like that. And the only way we're going to learn how to move and do these things is by learning to commune with God, to take that time, to have some holy days.
Yes.
Some holy time. How about a holy 5 minutes?
If
I would take a holy 5 minutes a lot more than what I do, I would probably do a lot better in life. How about your church? Psalms 104, verse 4 says, enter the temple gates with thanksgiving. You know, my wife and I count it worship when we write a tithe or a gift check. Yes. Or, Or if we lay $50 or $100 on somebody or a $20 on somebody that doesn't even go through the deal where we get credit for it at the church, you know, we count that as worship to God. Because guess what? Larry Baker don't give unless God tell him to. Because it's God's money. See, that's a form of worship. That's a form of thanksgiving. I'm almost through. Man, I tell you what, there's so much. You know, if you're not coming to the Celebrate Recovery meetings on Thursday and Sunday, you're missing something. You're missing something. You know, you're just missing. This is going to be King James, Psalms 95. Verse 1, it says, O come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Let us come before His presence with thanksgiving and make a joyful noise unto Him with psalms, with song. For the Lord is a great God. For you see, our God's a great God. He's great. And a great king above all. He's above every god that there is. Anything that anybody could ever dream of. All those gods they had in Egypt. I want to tell you what. Our Jehovah God is above all of them. Verse 6 says, O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. See, we need to be thankful sometimes and just come and just kneel before Him. You know, just get down before Him and thank Him for being our God.
Yes, we do.
I've been asking God for something, and I've been asking, I said, Lord, I need direction every day of my life. Psalms 96, verse 1 says this, O sing unto the Lord a new song, sing unto the Lord all the earth. Sing unto the Lord, bless His name, and show forth His salvation from day to day. Declare His glory among the heathen. His wonder among all people. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. He's to be feared above everything. You know, God loves us, but I will tell you what. He's also a God to be feared. The heart of the king is in the hands of God. Guess what? God directs everything. Psalms 97 says this, The Lord reigneth, let the earth rejoice, let the multitudes of the isle be glad thereof. The Lord reigneth. Who's reigning in your life? See, whoever you're thankful to, is who's reigning in your life. Let me tell you something. If you're not giving God thanks for everything in your life, guess what? He's not reigning in your life. When you get up in the mornings, and if one of your first thoughts, I won't say the first one is because I'm getting old and my bladder is my first thought of the morning. But pretty soon after that, I'm thinking about, okay, God, what have You got in store for me today? Who's going to be knocking on my door at the office? Who's going to be walking in there? Who am I? I tell them, I say, look in the mirror at yourself of the morning. And tell yourself, I am somebody. God has created me in Your likeness. And what do you have me to do today, Father? What direction am I going to go? What path have You prepared for me today? Psalms 98:1 says this, O sing unto the Lord a new song. For he hath done marvelous things. His right hand and his holy arm hath gotten him the victory. Our victory's in God. Our victory's in God. And Psalms 100 says this, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know you that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us and not ourselves. And we are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. We used to sing a song, remember? I will enter his gates with thanksgiving in my heart. I will enter that inner court with praise. See, sometimes we forget about those little things like that, about entering the gates with thanksgiving. And if you want to get into that holy of holy, if you want to get into that place where his train fills the temple, you got to learn to praise him. To put all the negative stuff behind you, all the cares of the world to the side, and come in and say, God, what do you have for me today? I have people all the time ask me, says, man, how long are you going to work? I says, till God says quit. Well, how long is that going to be? You hear that? Amen. When it quits, I quit. Amen. Thank you. What are you thankful for? Well, I'm thankful for my house. I'm thankful for my pickup. I'm glad I got it. They got it all patched up. My wife's praying the deer off of me. But what am I really thankful for? I'm thankful for that peace that passes all understanding. I'm thankful for the God that healeth me. I'm thankful for the God that sanctified me. I'm thankful that when he looks at me, he sees the righteousness of his son Jesus and not my dirty, filthy rags. I'm thankful not just to know God, but rather be known by God. See, that's what it boils down to. God loves you. I love you. I'm sorry this wasn't one of my hellfire and brimstone messages for you. But I want to tell you something. Let's get real about Thanksgiving. Let's get real about letting God do what God does. And us do what God wants us to do. Amen? God bless you.
Thank you, Jesus. Larry, go over there by Mary. Just go over there and Mary, stand up just for a moment. And I'm going to reveal to you a secret. It wasn't by accident that I asked you. Take your wife by the hand to preach on Thanksgiving. Many of you may know Larry and Mary have been through some drought in their lives. Mary got where she couldn't work for many weeks now, many situations. And this is what the Lord is saying to both of you. I watched you through the drought. You continued to plant. And son, out of your own words, starting right now,
I'm bringing a gentle rain. A rain that will cause all of your seeds to come up and produce 100-fold. I'm bringing a refreshing. Because you could thank me in the drought, I'm going to give plenty more than ever before for you two, starting right now, says the Lord. Starting right now, in Jesus' name, I loose the blessings of God on Larry and Mary and Shane. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Well, I'll tell you, I want to pray in tongues so bad, but man, the last time I did that, people got mad. They weren't here today. They might not ever be here again. I don't know. But on the other hand of it, I mean, my God. I want to have a New Testament church. And really, out of the movie Gone with the Wind, when you really get down to it, if you don't like what God is doing, gonna get in trouble. Frankly, my dear, I don't give a damn. There's a refreshing coming to you. You don't want to miss Tuesday night. If you can make it, this Tuesday night before Thanksgiving, we're going to celebrate further. Amen? Amen? Would you stand to your feet? And lift up your hands. And Heather, you made my day to ask Jesus in your heart. You know, you came in with that yellow shirt. It's like, see, I'm a deer hunter. I look for things, just little bitty things. And you know what? God put you, he said, God was talking to you. He said, everything else is dirty. Put that yellow shirt on. And he made you stand out. And I could see, and the Lord said, see that girl? He said, I'm going to save that girl. And Heather, God's going to continue to save you. Wherever you go, whatever you do, we'll never forget you. We hope to see you again. Raise up your hands, and I'm going to speak to you the blessing of Moses. The Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his power, his love. The Lord lift up his way, that he could have his way upon you and give you a great peace and a great holiday season, a great holy day season. From now, all through the holidays, all through the wonderful time, that it would truly be wonderful in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen, amen, and God bless him.